This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Coming up on You Need Therapy.
I just actually read an example in a book recently of this woman who, her husband works in a hospital, and she has a huge fear of contamination and germs. So like when every time he walks in the house, she has to wash her hands. Or like she has safe places in their house that he's not allowed to go into that are just for her because she knows that they're, quote, not contaminated.
I started to realize that not being an expert isn't a liability, it's a real gift.
If we don't know something about ourselves at this point in our life, it's probably because it's uncomfortable to know.
If you can die before you die, then you can really live. There's a wisdom at death's door.
I thought I was insane, yeah. And I didn't know what to do because there was no internet.
I don't know, man. I'm like, I feel like everything is hard.
Hey y'all, my name is Kat. I'm a human first and a licensed therapist second. And right now, I'm inviting you into conversations that I hope encourage you to become more curious and less judgmental about yourself, others, and the world around you. Welcome to You Need Therapy. Hi guys, and welcome to a new episode of You Need Therapy podcast. My name is Kat, I am the host, and quick reminder before we get into the episode that although I am a therapist and you actually have two therapists here today, this podcast does not serve as a replacement or substitute for any actual mental health services. But we always hope that it can help you in some way wherever you are. Now, this week I thought it would be a really good time to talk about something that we haven't actually talked about that I can remember really at all on this podcast. And one of the reasons I wanted to talk about it is because of that. And also it's one of the things that I see over and over and over again, talked about on social media, TikTok, Instagram, all of that. And it's one of the things that we, myself and our guest, and I think probably a lot of therapists or people that work in mental health, it's one of the things that we see a lot of people coming in with and questioning and wondering and self-diagnosing and all of that, which I do think is wonderful. In one sense, I am actually so grateful, and it's part of why this podcast even exists, that regular humans can just be looking on social media and discover something and learn about something that they identify with, and it helps them feel less alone and helps them feel more understood. And I wanted to talk about it today because I wanted to put a little bit more context to it and just give some more information that can help the people out there that are looking and seeing things that they identify with, and seeing if that's really something I identify with or if it's just parts of that, and just give you some more information. And my hope is always that you take this information and you process it with somebody on your own that can help you make sense of it in your own life. So I have one of the Three Chords Therapy therapists here with me today. And Three Chords Therapy is my practice that I have here in Nashville. Her name is Josie. And so welcome, Josie, to You Need Therapy again for, I think, the third time.
Hello. Yes, happy to be here.
Josie has been here a couple times before on the podcast. Once talking about eating disorders, one when we talked about
body dysmorphia.
And then we talked about like our first experiences in therapy.
Yes. Yeah. And me and Julia had very different experiences. Yes.
So Josie sees a lot of clients that have OCD and are experiencing symptoms from it. And so I wanted her to come on and just talk about the basics of what it is. And like I said, this is one of those things that I see a lot of self-diagnosis of, which is necessarily not a bad thing. I'm happy that people are seeing stuff on the internet and feeling understood or feeling like they have an answer to something. But I think also sometimes we do that thing where we convince ourselves that we have things. Like when, I mean, I've talked about this before on the podcast, when I took my DSM class, I was diagnosing myself with every single disorder that we went through because I was seeing everything through the context of my own life and not looking at the specifics of it. And so we do that when we see stuff on social media where we're like, oh, I do that. I do that. I do that. I have this thing now and now I have to fix it. And that could be true. I'm not saying that that's not true for you. It also might not always be true. And we might be exaggerating things or we might be minimizing things that are more important. So we're going to talk about OCD and I want to start with, did you like mean to get into this? Like, did you want to work with OCD when you became a therapist?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I fell into it because I came into therapy or as a therapist, like wanting to work with eating disorders, and it really popped up. I feel like half of my eating disorder clients have OCD because there's that perfectionism there.
Yeah.
And it just started to pop up with my clients before I even came to Three Chords. And I realized I had to figure out how to work with it. So I started seeking supervision for it. I started doing trainings for it and I grew to really like it. Now I like want to see clients that are just even coming for OCD. And I think it's really interesting to work with. Kind of just fell in my lap accidentally. Yeah.
Which I think that's a good point for you to say too, where you sought out supervision and trainings on that, because we've talked about before on the podcast, we go through a very, I mean, you have a different degree than me, but any trained therapist goes through a very, I would say, more general training of how to be a therapist. And then when you think about the populations you want to work with, that is done by you going out and working with those populations and seeking the training and all of that. And so I think it's important that you noted, like, I didn't mean to do this, but it was involved in the population I was with. And so I took the extra effort to go and make sure I was competent in this area.
Yeah, basically, I mean, we refer out or we're like, all right, I guess we're figuring this out now.
Yeah.
And I'm going to become trained and here we go. Let's do this.
We're either going to figure that out before or we're going to figure out in the middle.
Yeah.
Can you give us like an overview? Like, what is obsessive compulsive disorder? What does it entail? What are the symptoms? How do you diagnose it? Just give us like the rundown.
So with obsessive compulsive disorder, we have these obsessions. So these thoughts, and those are unwanted thoughts that pop into your head. They're unrealistic, they cause a lot of anxiety, and they are usually long lasting. And then we have the compulsions, and those are thoughts or actions that you complete for immediate and often temporary relief from the anxiety you have due to that obsessive thought. So like, I feel like the classic example is that people kind of think of OCD is like, if I don't check the stove 3 times, then my house is going to catch on fire. Or if I don't vacuum my rug 2x a day, then I'm going to feel really uncomfortable. My room isn't going to feel right. But there are a lot of other ways that OCD shows up with clients as well.
You said the compulsion can be a thought.
Yeah.
Can you explain that?
I actually really love talking about this because I have several clients who had no idea that they had OCD. And I'm like, wait a minute. Whoa. What did you just say?
You said what?
And it is like life changing to be able to like put a name to something that you've never understood. And you just have thought like, I'm weird. I'm different. I'm the problem. Instead of being like, no, this is your brain chemistry. This is OCD. And this is how we can learn to cope with that or get medication for it, etc. I'll give like a few examples. So I'll kind of like tie this into something that you and I've already talked about, like I wanted to mention today, but having sexual thoughts is so common and there's so much stigma around it. So that's like a huge one that people don't talk about. So an example, this is also a really common part of that. An example would be like a teenager having a thought about her parents having sex. And it pops into her head once. And then she's like, oh my God, what was that thought? That was really scary. And like our body feels that it's really scary. And then because it's happened once and we're freaking out about it, then it keeps popping up and it keeps happening. So like we have this thought, and then eventually that can turn into, if OCD is there, if it's in your genes, if it's in your brain chemistry, or it's just in your environment, that can turn into having the compulsive thought of, for example, harming myself. So not like physically doing self-harm, but because I feel so guilty and so uncomfortable that I'm having that thought, it really helps me to visualize, just visualize self-harming myself.
Because as a response to that.
Yes, because that relieves some of the guilt that I just had that sexual thought about my parents.
Well, and I bet that's really helpful for people to hear you say that this is a common thing. And that's important that you mentioned too before you said that. I kind of got this sense when I went to school. It's like diagnosing is this like big, scary, like slap on the wrist, almost like you have this thing. And it's almost like there's morality, I think, sometimes put on to it. When in reality, I find there to be so much freedom in diagnoses like this. And some people will be like, I don't want to label clients, or I don't want to be labeled. And I get some of those arguments to an extent. And I also think that's like a story, there's stories we make up about the labels and stuff like that. And what I see so often is when I can share with somebody like, oh, this isn't a book.
And
a
lot of people have this. Yes.
The reason that we can name this is because you're not alone. And also because we can name this, that means we know some stuff about it, which means there might be some, you don't have to live this way, because this isn't you. This isn't, there's something specifically wrong with you and you're stuck this way and you're bad. This is something that a lot of people experience, and that there is a framework for us to understand and work with it.
Yeah.
So I think that's very important that you said that. And I also think it's important that you're not naming even the like most, like we can talk about those too, but the most talked about examples. It's also, you're naming one of the most shame-filled examples.
Mm-hmm.
And if more people were sharing this, it's like if nobody knew that anybody wore underwear, then I think we'd all be like, you know, shameful that we're wearing underwear.
Yeah.
But we all know that people wear underwear. So I'm not like, ooh, gross, you're wearing a bra. I'm like, you're probably wearing one. You know what I mean? That's a weird example that came in my head.
Yeah, that was random, but it's okay.
I was just listening to an episode of The Giggly Squad, and they were talking about how their partners don't wear underwear.
What?
I know, which is, that's like, we assume people wear underwear, yeah. So we think it's weird when people don't. Like,
that's true.
I think that that, but then they both of their partners didn't. So like, maybe it's not that uncommon. So that's where that came from, I think. But I like the fact that like, the more we're sharing, you're talking about these examples that nobody's talking about. Well, yeah. Why don't we talk about those examples? Because if you're listening to this and you relate to that, then you have this automatic experience of, oh,
yeah.
So if I tell this to my therapist, they won't be like, oh, I've never worked with this before. Mm-hmm. This seems, it's like, oh yeah, that's something that happens.
I want to like be able to connect to people through this and be like, yeah. I want someone to be listening and be like, oh shit, that's me.
Yeah.
Whoa, I had no idea, and know that there are ways to cope with it. And like, I've had a client that, you know, felt something similar to that, like felt so scared to share it with me. And eventually she did. And I was like, wait a minute, you're on psychotropic medication, but you're not on one that specifically targets OCD. Like, that could completely change your life. So we ended up talking to her psychiatrist and got on a different medication that really helped. Like, something as simple as that.
Yeah.
And then she's in therapy with me, and we're working on coping skills. It can be life-changing.
Yeah. Okay, so you told us that OCD is something that somebody's experiencing, obsessions and then compulsions to cope with those obsessions. Is there anything else to that general definition that you would add?
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
You told us that OCD is something that somebody's experiencing obsessions and then compulsions to cope with those obsessions. Is there anything else to that general definition that you would add?
Not really. Like, that's kind of the gist of it. I've really found that obsessions, those like initial thoughts, really connect with like our fears. So like another really common one that is in textbooks and I've done some research on is when you're in a car and you're like going through a crosswalk or going through a red light, very common to have the thought, did I just hit someone? Even though you did not feel anything in the, like, there's no reason, no like quote, like logical reason for you to think that. It's your OCD brain saying, wait, did you just hit someone? Did you just hit someone with your car? Because that like taps into a fear that they have. And then the compulsion to that thought might be, I have to look back three times or two times.
Or drive back around.
Yes.
Okay. So actually I want to ask this because this is, I think, where a lot of the like self-diagnosing that gets a little bit out of left field, or maybe not left field, just overdone, is when I have intrusive thoughts. Because you hear that all the time. I feel like intrusive thought is like a buzzword right now.
Yes. And like when I listen to my intrusive thoughts.
Yes. Like it's like a meme.
Yeah.
And we all have, well, I won't say we all, most of us have intrusive thoughts. That's just like a thought that we don't want to have that we didn't like mean to have. That's like a very normal experience. And I have a common intrusive thought where I'll be like at a grocery store or something and there'll be a display. Specifically, it happens when there's like a big display of like cans or something that like would just like topple over. And I have these thoughts of like, either if I'm by myself, I'll be like, well, what if I just jumped into it or something like that? Like knocked one over, like what if I just did that? And then if I'm with somebody, I'll like be like, well, what if I just pushed him into the display and then ran away? Like I have that thought. I've never done it. And I don't know that I've done anything to essentially cope with that. I just think about it. Like, mm-hmm. What is the difference between that and somebody who's has OCD?
That would have to be tied with a compulsion. So like the act of like checking it two times to make sure all the cans are still in order, that you didn't actually do it or like actually run into it. Or it could be you like pacing back and forth three times.
It could be anything.
Yes, it could seriously be anything. It could be like a random coping skill that you already use. I mean, a common one is pacing back and forth a certain amount of time. Or like if you're in the grocery store and there are tiles on the ground, that could be like hopping three tiles, two tiles, one tile. I don't care what it is. Counting, checking.
Okay, so that's important. Your compulsion does not have to be directly tied to the thought. So
no.
Like... So if the compulsion is washing my hands, it's not always tied to like your hands being dirty. that compulsion can be tied to any thought that you might be having.
Yes, but a lot of time with hand washing it is, because a lot of time that has to do with contamination and germs and fear of germs.
Okay. It doesn't even have to be like germs on your hand. It can be like upstairs might, I don't know. Like they don't have to be directly related in general. A lot of times they probably are. It would make sense if they are. Mm-hmm. But my like compulsion to kind of calm my anxiety can be also to get my mind away from something versus just like fixing that thing. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. Like I just, with the hand washing, I just actually read an example in a book recently of this woman who, her husband works in a hospital and she has a huge fear of contamination and germs. So like when every time he walks in the house, she has to wash her hands. Or like she has safe places in their house that he's not allowed to go into that are just for her because she knows that they're, quote, not contaminated.
Wow. Okay. That makes sense. Okay. So that's where you can have intrusive thoughts, but it doesn't mean we need to diagnose ourselves with OCD. Now, that might mean there's some type of other anxiety, possibly anxiety disorder attached to those thoughts, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you then have OCD. And I think that's a huge distinction that is important because people hear parts of the disorder and they grab onto it. But to be diagnosed with this, you have to actually have all of the parts.
Yeah, DSM diagnosis, you have to have both. An obsession could be like, I don't feel right, or like, I don't feel comfortable if my curtain isn't open to this certain point. Like, it just doesn't feel right. Like, it doesn't feel comfortable. I cannot go throughout my day unless my curtain is at this certain point in my room. Or I wake up, I cannot get through my day, or my day is so uncomfortable if I don't wake up and turn on my left light and then my right light exactly in that order. Like, I will be worried about all day long.
Okay. Talk about that. This with eating disorders and body image, though.
Yeah. Body checking?
Yes. Okay. So people might not know what that means.
That is looking in the mirror and looking at your body. So...
Or it could be, like, touching parts of your body or, you know...
Which...
Collarbones, waist, like just 100%. Touching, putting your hand around your wrist and making sure like your fingers still aren't meeting at the same spot that they did before.
Mm-hmm. Making sure your collarbones are still sticking out or whatever like that feeling is that you need to feel better. But the thought is like a fear or obsessive thought could be, what if I gained 15 pounds while I was sleeping last night? And then we wake up and the compulsion could be touching your collarbone, looking in the mirror, making sure we did not gain 50 pounds. Well, obviously a big one is stepping on a scale.
Yeah.
That's going to be a huge compulsion. That's like provide that temporary relief from that anxiety of that thought of I gained 15 pounds while I slept last night.
Well, and are those obsessive thoughts usually like there's nothing happens to create them? Like it's...
Oh yeah. They're so... They
so
just
it's like
pop.
In my sleep versus like... Or could it be like I ate... lunch and now I think that I gained 15 pounds.
Yeah, it could definitely be that.
Which would be an exaggeration because that's not going to happen.
Yeah, that's not that. The thing is like with it's these thoughts, realistic. They are not realistic.
Okay.
Our brain's telling us that it's possible, but logically it is not possible.
Okay. Now, what do you do? Because I hear you saying there's like hope and it's exciting. And I've even said like exciting to name this because then there's a way out of it. What do you do with somebody? Because you can't just tell somebody stop thinking that.
Nope. Mm-mm, that's not going to happen. Number one, like we're talking about, it is so helpful to normalize it and give education around it. Like that's huge with my clients. I mean like, oh my gosh, like this is my brain and we can figure out ways to work with this. Number two, see a therapist, and I can give you some examples of like what I do with clients. See a therapist. Also, like I'm a huge proponent of medication for OCD, and I've seen it make a huge difference with people. See a therapist first, but also I think that's can be eventually a piece of it. But like something I do with clients is this tactic of delaying, limiting, or changing the compulsion. So, I love it. So it's a response prevention. So like we have this response, this compulsion, and we're trying to prevent that from happening. So I like to use this example with clients. I don't have OCD, but if I did and I'm in the gym and I work out every morning before I go to work, and I have this thought that if I do not do a plank for 1 minute after my workout, I am going to get in a car crash on the way home. I've seen this with a client. I mean, I've seen this with like something of this nature. I'm like, you know, making it a little sound a little different, but.
But also I have some compassion for the fact that like, I'm looking at you like, how could that have to do with you getting a car crash?
She was like, what?
Yeah, but I'm naming that face because as crazy as that might sound to somebody, for the person who is having that thought, that does feel so true.
It feels so real. And it's your brain.
Yeah.
It is not.
You're not doing that on purpose.
Yeah. And no one's like, oh, I want to have OCD. Right. No one chooses it. It is. And it's so genetic. That and substance use are two of the most genetic disorders. And no one is choosing this, but it feels so real. So a way that I work with clients to cope with that is like, if we're using this example is, can we limit the amount of time we do that plank? So if every time I leave, it is specifically 1 minute, can I do it for 58 seconds? Can I do it for 57 seconds? Can I do it for 50 seconds? Like,
okay, that's crazy because my first thought was 30 seconds. And you're like, no, we're just going to take 2 seconds off.
We're just going to like do it.
Scaffold that.
We could do 59 seconds. I don't care. Yeah. Starting really, really tiny and doing these really small steps. Also, delaying when we do the plank. So if every time the workout ends, I have to get into my plank immediately. What if we waited 10 seconds until we do it? What if we go say hey to a friend and then do it? What if we waited 2 seconds? I don't care. And then did the plank. Delaying doing that compulsion. Also, changing is a good one too, of like, okay, so I typically do a plank for a minute. What if I did crunches for a minute? What if I did another, some sort of ab exercise for a minute? It's basically just like, we've got to get out of this strict, I have to do this or something is going to happen. Kind of, it's like a game to me with clients. I'm like, how can we mess with this a little bit?
Well,
how
and the we way, change it? Yeah, the way you're describing it too, is that you're, which the like term is really like scaffolding it, like doing very, very small, manageable shifts and changes versus like, you might not start doing the crunches until somebody has gone to that 58 seconds. It's like, okay, we did this. So now let's do this, because this seems like a little bit bigger of a change. And that might feel for somebody more manageable and doable. And I think a lot of times when we ourselves are thinking outside of the context of working with a therapist, and I even do this with myself as a human being, when I want to change something, it's like, oh, I'm going to change this 100%. Like, I'm going from black to white. I'm completely shifting this. It's like when people want to like start like morning routines or nighttime routines, it's like, I'm going to get a 20-step skincare routine. It's like, well, why don't you just like wash your face once? Or when they want to have this, I'm going to wake up 2 hours early, I'm going to have my coffee, I'm going to journal, then I'm going to go to the gym, then I'm going to go on a walk, then I'm going to call my mom, then I'm going to take a shower, then I'm going to exfoliate, then I'm going to get ready for work, and then I'm like, first of all, nobody's doing that. Second of all, why don't you just like start sitting down when you drink your coffee? Like, start with something very small before you completely change everything about how you're doing things, because the huge change might not even be necessary. And also, we're not likely to make those changes if it's that big. Yeah. So if you told me, well, I can speak for myself when I was in my own exercise addiction. If you told me like, well, instead of running, why don't you do yoga for an hour? Same time, but like you're into yoga. I'd be like, heck no, I'm not doing that. But if you told me instead of running for an hour, or instead of, I think I did more like it was the lengths, like the distance. Mm-hmm. So instead of running for 6 miles, why don't you do 5.9?
Yep.
That would have felt like a big deal, because part of like my stuff is like I had to make all of the numbers align. Mm-hmm. And so you saying that would have been like, okay, well, that's challenging enough. So let me do that and see if anything else changes about my day. And nothing would probably change. Mm-hmm. And so then I'm like, okay, now I could probably go down a little bit more. And now I can go down a little bit more. Now this idea of doing a different type of workout sounds more manageable.
Yep.
So I really like that. And it also ties to, not everybody who has behaviors like this is going to be diagnosed with OCD. And I think that's why there's two parts in this.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
Not everybody who has behaviors like this is going to be diagnosed with OCD. And I think that's why there's two parts in this. This kind of conversation can be helpful for anybody. I don't specifically have OCD, but what you're talking about can be helpful and parts of my everyday life.
Yeah, as I for sure.
That doesn't mean I have this diagnosable disorder that is interrupting the quality of my life.
Yes.
And I think that's
a good key part there.
A huge part in most mental health disorders, where I might experience some of the symptoms from time to time that are in these different disorders. But a huge part of a lot of this is interrupting my quality of life. This is where sometimes I look at, depending on what your career is. So somebody who is a professional runner, they're going to run more than me, right? So their running schedule might not be interrupting the quality of their life because that's their job. Or like a football player. Now, I do think there's some like disorderedness in professional athletes, the way that they are expected to train and forced and all of that. And somebody who plays professional football, them practicing football for, I don't know, 4 hours a day is different than my husband, who doesn't have those extra. He has to go to work at his accounting job. And then if he's like, I got to go play football for 4 hours, I'd be like, okay,
this is what about your family? Your
yes, this is disrupting the quality of your life because you aren't able to say no when that doesn't fit into certain things. And so it's helpful to talk to mental health professionals about this stuff, because I think what I see a lot of times is people are like, oh, I relate to that. And then they create a bigger issue out of something that might just be like, oh, I relate to that. It doesn't mean that this now is taking over my life and I have to create all these interventions and do all this stuff and change all these things about myself, when really it might just be like, oh, I relate to that. I might want to take a little bit of that and use that for myself, but I don't need this to become like who I am as a person.
Yes.
I think that's what I'm trying to get at. That felt important. People are creating personality traits out of some of this stuff. And I'm like, even when you have a diagnosed mental health disorder, that's not all of who you are. Like, you probably know people, and I'm talking to like the people that are listening, you probably know people who have mental health disorders. You just don't know they have it, because it's not their entire personality. They don't use that to define who they are. I mean, some people might, and that might be part of their disorder, but it doesn't have to be that extreme. When we're talking about OCD, it's going to impact the quality of your life. We're not able to implement these things on your own, most likely. You're not able to just listen to this podcast and say, oh, I'll try that. It's going to take some reinforcement. It's going to take some accountability. It might take some medication. It might take trying a bunch of different things. You're not going to be able to just be like, oh, that sounds like an intervention I want to use. I'm going to use it.
Yes. And like, I have a client who I'm laughing because we talked about it this morning and I told her I was doing this episode. She was like, oh, you should talk about this on there. But like she, when she was growing up, had to step on the scale 3 times every single morning. And we were talking about how it impacted her life. And
what if she didn't have a scale?
I asked that question and she said she would bring it with her on vacation. That is where it's going to negatively. Like, I get it. I don't really love a scale and stepping on a scale, whatever. But people are going to do that. That's fine. But like where it impacted her life is like, this has to come with me everywhere. I have to pack it in my suitcase. So that's like an example of like
an overnight
trip.
Yes. She'd have to bring a scale.
Yes.
What I want people to hear when they hear that is, it's not your fault that that might be something you're struggling with. And
no, she's 10 years old.
And you don't have to continue to live that way.
No. OCD often presents like later in life, but like for someone like her, it started when she was so young and you're like, wait, this is normal, right? Like everyone does this. You have like, this is just like what your brain is telling you you have to do. And so we do it.
So you mentioned it's genetic.
Oh my God, so genetic.
And can you also develop it out of a response to something?
Yeah, you can. The research that I've done is that it's very genetic, but yeah, you can. And also, interesting fact is addictions, especially like alcoholism and drugs, can often cover OCD. So especially for like our parents and parents' parents.
You mean mass?
Yes. Okay.
Like that's a response to that.
I ask, is this in your family anywhere? And like we've kind of, and I've done research on it, but like I have clients be like, well, like, you know, my uncle, like he definitely has addictions. He is an alcoholic. And I'm like, we talk about how, oh wait, I think he has OCD. Like, this is the word I'm looking for, a coping skill. Like,
yeah.
Alcoholism, drugs, it's often like, used as a coping skill.
A compulsion? Or is it coping with the...
Coping with the uncomfortable, obsessive thoughts. Or especially when, again, like the older generations who didn't go to therapy, our generation is much better about going to therapy and getting diagnosed and getting help. But like the thoughts are so uncomfortable that we often start drinking. That's not true, but like it is a common thing.
Okay. Well, and that's natural for us to search for something to make us feel better.
Yes. I mean, like especially like say like someone's having the sexual thoughts, that's so uncomfortable because
I would want to drown that out.
Yes. You think I'm bad. I'm the problem. I'm a horrible person. I'm morally so wrong. And I need to drown out this really uncomfortable feeling. And I start drinking.
Well, and I just would want to make those thoughts go away.
Yeah.
For sure. So it's the shame. And it's the fact that I don't want to think this anymore.
So much shame.
I want to forget about this.
Shame and OCD are besties.
Well, and I imagine like a lot of things that people, like the thoughts are just so frustrating. It's like, I want the noise to go away.
Yes.
So I get that. And I get how, I mean, you might go to turn to drugs and alcohol, but I get why you also would turn to other things that just take your brain space up. Mm-hmm. Either numb it out so I'm not thinking at all, or force me to focus on something else. And then that becomes maybe even another obsession.
The compulsions make a lot of sense because they provide that relief.
Yeah.
It's super temporary. Your obsession is going to come back, but it's like, oh, okay, I did the compulsion. I'm okay now. But then it pops up a day later, an hour later, whatever it is.
Which is what creates the cycle because you're not attacking the root of that.
And we're not just like sitting with the uncomfortableness and learning how to actually cope with that uncomfortable feeling, that uncomfortable obsession.
Mm-hmm. This is a perfect episode to come after the one I just did about discomfort, because I was talking so much about how we are not taught and our world is not trained to sit with that discomfort. We are very good at finding a way to get out of it.
The Brittany Snow episode on Call Her Daddy.
Oh my God, yes.
I love how she asked her friend, like she was going through a really bad divorce, and Brittany Snow asked her friend like, how do I get through this? And our friend responded with, you sit with it.
Yes. Yes.
Love that.
Okay. Yeah. So I don't know if I even mentioned, but I just recently listened to, I think it was last week that it came out, the Brittany Snow Call Her Daddy episode. And I didn't know that Brittany Snow struggled with an eating disorder.
Yeah, I had no idea.
And so I just like Brittany Snow.
Love
and
her.
So I listened to it and I was like, oh my gosh, it's a very good episode to listen to hear somebody talk about recovery in a realistic and honest and real way. She seems and she sounds like she's done some really good work, and I can't wait to watch her movie.
So excited.
Well, it came out this past Friday. If you guys are listening to this on Monday, it came out on Friday, select theaters, but I looked and nowhere around us is showing it. But it's streaming, I think, on the 12th. So I'm going to...
We should all get together and watch should. It.
It looks like a movie that could be very triggering because it appears to be so realistic. It's based off of her life. So I would caution anybody who is going to listen. It's called Parachute. It's about her recovery process, and she wrote it and directed it. I would encourage people that are watching it either to be with people that feel safe that they can process it with, or you don't have to watch it if you're not in a place where you can handle that much relatability, because I know there's parts of my life that I wouldn't have been able to watch that. It would have been a mess.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, what she said when she was talking about, like, what am I supposed to do if I can't like fix this or change this? She's like, you just sit with it.
Mm-hmm.
And we are given so many, I mean, anytime you turn on the TV or open anything up, we're given so many options of how to take away that feeling, that we get the message that we're not supposed to sit with that. We're not supposed to have that, when that's part of their human experience, is to sit with discomfort. You don't have to like it. And I would hope you don't like it. And I would hope that you don't like hope for that to happen to you. But it's to be human is to experience discomfort.
Yeah. And how could we actually really fully experience the great parts of our life if we didn't have the discomfort?
Right. We wouldn't know if everything was the same.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for being here and having this conversation. Is there anything you would want to say or share that we haven't said?
I just think that the shame piece of it, I think just a reminder of it is okay. And you are just like everyone else, and you're not a bad person if you have these thoughts, and that it's actually very common, and that you're going to be okay. And if you do, and it's negatively impacting your life or debilitating, distressing in your life, then I would definitely recommend seeking a therapist.
And if you live in Tennessee, that therapist could be Josie.
Oh yeah, that could be me.
I get a lot of messages about working with either myself or people in my practice, and I feel like I say this a lot, but not everybody listens to. Usually people are like, oh, the conversation is over, I'm gonna turn this off. We can only work with people who live in Tennessee because of licensing laws with our specific types of licenses. So that's why we might be able to see people virtually, but only if they live in the state that we have a license in. So if you live in Tennessee and you're in Tennessee and you are looking for a therapist, you can reach out to us, threecourtstherapy.com. If you want to follow the podcast at Unitherapy Podcast, you can follow me at kat.defada. You can follow Three Courts Therapy at Three Courts Therapy. I don't know that Josie wants you to follow her on her personal account.
Mine is private, and I post once every 6 months.
That is true.
So it's not even that interesting.
But
anyway,
you might see her face every now and then on Three Chords. And if you have any questions, feedback, comments, you can email me, Catherine@unitherapypodcast.com. And I think that's going to be it.
Yeah.
All right. I hope you guys have the day you need to have, and I will be back with you on Wednesday for Couch Talks. Bye.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases, and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody. and everybody. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection, and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.